Hi, hello, welcome. This is the interview with Gabrielle, a recently registered architect from Balcoota in South Australia. This clip was used to put together the full-length documentary Behind Closed Doors, The Life of an Architect. If you're thinking of entering the architecture or interior profession, you've got to see it. That link is going to be up above or in the description below to check that out. But without further ado, let's get on with the interview.
My name's Gabrielle, and I've recently just passed my registration within architecture. I'm one of the graduates kind of area of designers in the studio. I've always been really interested in not only architecture and kind of particularly interior, a bit of landscape as well. So it's really, from my perspective, it's really important to have that crossover in design to get a holistic overview of what design is.
And how long have you been practicing for?
I've been out of uni about 5 years now, so same as Sammy, was in the same year, which is cool. Always nice to work with some of your mates. In my final year, I was lucky enough to, through some work experience, get a role at Hassell, and then I stayed on board with them in my final year, which was great experience. I think I'd temper that by saying anyone that is working in practice, it's a bit of a juggle because you've got your focus on your final year studies and particularly your final studio, which is, you know, important, but there's something pretty thrilling about working in a studio. And for me, it was like almost just forget about your studies and you're like so excited for working on real projects. So it's a bit of a balance. Really, really great experience, and it always helps with your studies as well. So I'd always recommend people to do that if they can.
And why architecture? What made you want to be an architect?
Probably similar to a lot of people, I'd always had a passion for creativity and design and art as well going through school. I actually wanted to be a vet when I first started at high school. As I was kind of going through, I kind of reprioritised things, I think, as you kind of go through. And then took a gap year after my final year, not really knowing what I wanted to do, still super interested in design and involved with that kind of outside my education and studies. And yeah, came back from a very fun gap year and overseas and realised that's what I wanted to do. And I got pretty much straight into it and didn't really look back. And it's very fortunate that you see your fellow students. Not everyone takes to the degree, and it doesn't sometimes meet your expectation. Sometimes, I mean, it was fortunate for me that it was, you know, exceeded my expectations, and the course, you know, really fostered my love of design and interest in architecture and solidified, yep, this is definitely what I want to do.
Do you have any hobbies outside of architecture? Like if you're outside of this, what do you spend your time on?
Yeah, I think it's always really important, I think, to have other hobbies. Architecture, as anyone that's decided to do it will know, it's pretty all-consuming, particularly, you know, with your studies. You're spending so much time, your free time working on, you know, your studio, and then you've got your uni time as well. And that does somewhat cross over into your professional life. Something that we're all passionate about as designers, you're always involved in it in somewhere or another. So for me, it's like sport, cycling, tennis, really, really important too. Hobbies, I think as you get older, it's less so much about all the, you know, many things that you're doing, and you kind of focus in on a few things, like love gardening, love like hanging out with mates. So it's, yeah, pretty relaxed. No, yeah.
Girl, 1 to 10, how well did your education prepare you for what you're doing now?
I'd probably say a 9, only because I think for my year level was, I think, the last year level before they brought in the elective internship. For us, it was sort of self-found work experience. It wasn't actually a component. I think for a lot of people that had either found it difficult to locate somewhere, someone that would take them on for longer than a week, because otherwise it has to be paid work, found that really difficult. And getting your foot in the door is also another thing. So I was fortunate enough that, and that's, I think, a great thing about the uni hiring people that are working in practice, because it allows you to sort of network and meet those people. For me, Adrian was actually one of my tutors in third year, and had said to our group, if you're ever interested in work experience, come and have a chat. And that's really, really important, you know, seek out your tutors, particularly people that are working in practice, and get a bit of a feel for what different practices are like, how you, you know, what you want to work in as well. You're not going to know unless you try. Work experience was invaluable, obviously, to kind of, yeah, getting that foot in the door and also on leading on to work too. So probably the only thing, I think the rest of the course is really fantastic. Perhaps that more practical side of things in terms of preparing you for the working life is, you're never really going to know until you do it. And it's also hard to really prepare unless you've got that work experience under your belt.
What do you think are some of the biggest differences or similarities between studying and working in practice?
Oh, there's definitely some similarities. I mean, I don't know why, like, very naive I thought, you know, we're coming out of our uni. I was like, oh, it's going to be great. It's not going to be all-nighters anymore. It's going to be like 9 to 5. It's going to be awesome. So there's still aspects of, you know, having late nights, getting projects out, but it's definitely not as consistent as it was. There's always going to be kind of swings and roundabouts as to, you know, project deadlines. And I can say there's more structure in your day. You know, you get to work at a certain time and you typically you finish at a certain time. So you've got weekends, which is just the best for not having weekends before. So like most people working all through your uni degree to kind of, you know, pay for all the stuff you're making and doing at uni. So yeah.
Awesome. If you could sum up your experiences of architecture school in one word or sentence or a couple of words, key words or something, what would they be?
My degree and my uni. Can I say what uni I went to? Yeah. Plug UniSA. Yeah. UniSA. Awesome course. And I think the variety of you know, different studios and the subjects that you work across, going well beyond a few sentences for summing it up, but there's a really great level of preparedness that they facilitate within their course, and that works holistically across a lot of those courses. I just found it so enjoyable, like just really dumbing it down, it was just really super enjoyable course. And you always have those, you know, stressful moments. Don't worry, you will be fine when you finish. It's not going to be, you look back and you'll be like, no, that was definitely so easy. What am I complaining about? Yeah, I think it definitely prepares you well for working in the industry, meeting, you know, like-minded people. And yeah, that's a good thing. Sometimes it's a bad thing. Everyone works as hard as each other. Meeting great mates through the course, you know, lifelong friends, and you know, that continues all through your degree. Opportunities as well. I think there's some really great opportunities that beyond architecture, you know, through your electives and things like that as well, that kind of push the mold. And architecture in my mind should always be beyond buildings. You should always have different elements that inform your architecture. So I did a year of a Bachelor of Arts before I started architecture, and that just faded in miraculously, very seamlessly. So I was doing anthropology and environmental studies, things that, you know, are intrinsic to the way we understand architecture, the way we inhabit space, and as people as well. It's really important. It's not just built form. It's really important to remember that it's about the people that inhabit these spaces and the environment as well.
Do you have any more rituals or routines as soon as you get into the office or as soon as you wake up, or
like,
do you kind of just get stuck into it?
Usually it's a bit of a warm-up. Like, I'm very fortunate that, you know, I live relatively close by, and so I can ride my bike in, and yeah, that's a great way for clearing my head in the morning. Like a lot of other people in the studio, just sort of sets you up for, you know, you're invigorated for the day, you're not sort of waking up too tired most of the time. But yes, yeah, it's pretty, you do usually have your own little ritual, you know, just put stuff down, get changed or whatever, and grab a coffee and sit down. Usually it's first thing is just checking emails and catching up on things that might have come through in the evening. Or, you know, you'll be like me and have like 20 sort of checklists around the place of things I need to do, or just reminders that I need to do during the week. For me, it's pretty relaxed most days. It's just sort of how it goes. Depending on how busy you are, you might just, you know, you're rushing in, you're straight on your computer, firing up Revit or whatever to jump into what you need to. But most days are pretty similar, I think. Yeah.
Cool. And then during the day, what do you find yourself working on the most, though?
Yeah. Mostly it's just documentation, I think, and responding to emails. Really depends on the project stage and where a project is sort of situated. So say, for example, it's in the contract admin stage, which meaning it's on site, you know, things are getting built. Depending on your role, you know, you'll be down on site having site meetings, you'll be wandering around site with the builder or the client. And so, yeah, sometimes it can be really heavily weighted to that end. I think one of my recent projects, you know, was on site, you know, more than 3 times a week, you know, checking things off, and in that case you're responding to a lot of emails from the builder. But then other times, you know, you're just hitting documentation hard. Other times you're doing really fun stuff like concept stuff, which is awesome. Lots of ideas, lots of conversation, lots of collaboration too. Some of the other things, like you might be meeting with suppliers too, so there's also external to kind of just like sitting at your desk or being on site. You know, you might be going out and having meetings with different suppliers or different businesses as well. So it's kind of networking aspect as well. Yeah.
What is most about being an architect?
Oh, so many things. I think For me, I would be absolutely just so bored out of my mind, I think, if I was just doing one thing. And architecture lends itself to so many different roles, and I'm sure someone has already said it to you before. It's often said that architects are jack of all trades and master of none. I'd say probably masters of design in some ways, but you've got to have a hat for a lot of different roles. It's never kind of dull, I think that's the thing. You're not ever sitting at a desk and knowing exactly what you're going to be doing. It's going to be always changing, like no two projects are the same. So I think that's what I find really invigorating and enjoying. You have that constant change and interest as well. You might be working on a house which has beautiful kind of bespoke elements to it, or it might be, you know, a large commercial tower which has a completely different set of requirements, and you have to get your head around those, what the client requires, what the tenants require, what does the building require to function. That constant changing in typology is really invigorating for me. That's yeah.
What do you enjoy the least then about architecture?
It's very much, it's a bit of a love-hate relationship, where I think for me the passion outweighs the really crummy parts, and the crummy parts are very small for me. The pushes for deadlines and things like that, where you've just had a really big week and you know your mind's just constantly thinking of the things that you need to be doing. So but then, you know, that passes and that's always a relief. The passion definitely outweighs the bad things, and I think that's a good sign. If you feel that the majority of it is awesome fun, then that's what you want.
Exactly. How would you put it on a scale of 1 to 10, mm-hmm. working in architecture?
I think it's such a personal question, and no two people are going to answer the same. Like, if you're not interested in design, then you're going to say 0. Some people you talk to, they're like, how do you do this? Like, it's such a, you know, can be really demanding. In some ways it's quite clicky too, so the people that you sort of hang out with are a lot of designers as well, because they experience the same things you do, they get it, whereas, you know, people outside of the industry perhaps don't have that insight into the intense hours you do in studio or your other subjects to get through. It's high up, very high up for me. It's not health at all for me, but you know, some people looking in might have a different opinion of, you know, some of the things, you know, you hear about the industry. It's a very fulfilling occupation, particularly once a project's finished, seeing the positive impact it can have on not only the people using the building but like broader communities. It's such a tangible thing to see, so I think that's probably the most enjoyable thing for me, is seeing that come to life. Yeah, again, I'd probably say 9. High 9, yeah. It's never going to, I don't think anything in the world is going to be perfect. I don't think you could put it at a 10. There's always room for improvement, always room for changing. There's always those little frustrating things about the job as well that, you know, so it's definitely not perfect, but I don't think you want it to be perfect, because then it wouldn't be challenging and then you wouldn't get that enjoyment out of it, so.
My next question is, what are some of the challenges you face?
Probably one of the biggest challenges is that typically outside of the studio you have to remain really impartial. Impartiality, I think what I mean by that is that as an architect, and this is something you discover when you're going through your registration process, if that's something you're wanting to do, you can't be biased towards a particular person. You just have to do your job to the best that you can. Constantly having to manage expectations, it's a really difficult thing. So being really clear through emails and documentation and checking things off is super important to mitigate some of those issues.
If you could go back to when you first started,
yep,
as your younger self, would you have any advice?
Oh yeah.
Change?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I think just worry way less. My degree, I set the standard like way up here when, you know, perhaps I definitely could have come down a little bit further, and that pressure was significant on my own behalf. And that's only through experience. You're only going to know once you've had something so much harder that you're like, what was I even stressed about? And that can be a good thing, because it reprioritizes your levels of stress and you know, what you can do. Getting those HDs for studio, although they seem so important, they aren't everything. You go into practice, and that's obviously, you know, wanting to maintain or attain a high standard is awesome. There's other important things apart from, you know, those super duper high marks that you words to my younger self, aside from the less stress, but I don't know if I could do that. You kind of know yourself and yeah. I think I probably would have tried to get a bit more experience across the board in terms of other practices. You know, my first job was, I felt very fortunate and I was able to, not a brag at all, but you know, I was, that was where I was attaining to be. And I was like, I'm going to have to do this small job, small practice and work my way up, and was able to kind of jump into that. And in some ways that was insanely overwhelming. It was really, and not with, you know, any of the people that I was working with are all really awesome, but you tend to have a big pond, little fish kind of mentality where you're working with people that have been involved in some really amazing projects that you've idolized or you've used in your studio reference work. And in some ways it just can feel a bit threatening, I guess. And you know, do I have a voice? How can I contribute? You know, the work that I've done with the uni through tutoring and particularly work experience students, it's so important to know that you have a voice. You should always be included in those design conversations. You have so much to add, no matter what level of experience you have. And I think we've had some work experience students involved with design critiques and things like that, and they've just added a completely different and awesome perspective, because once you're working in the industry, you tend to lose that fluid kind of, I don't want to say fluid creativity, so that's definitely still involved, but the focus sort of shifts. You're not 100% focused on just creating this awesome, beautiful thing that's well designed and functional. It's something that works with client budgets and timelines. There's so many other constraints that are put into play. Some of that really like free thinking creativity is somewhat moved into a different kind of realm. It's really important to know that no matter what level of experience or skill set, you should always contribute and feel like you are a part of the team.
How bloody cool was that? If you haven't checked out the full-length film Behind Closed Doors, The Life of an Architect, you've got to set some time aside for that, because it's pretty incredible what some of these guys have to share with you, some information and resources that will be really helpful if you're thinking about studying architecture or you just want to get an insight into the profession. So if you want to check that out, you can click that button to the side here, or if you just want to go on with the next interview, check out that button to the side there. Catch you there.